Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What's your love language? No, I'm not asking you what language you speak when you're trying to be romantic with your significant other. But how is it that you best receive and express love? In 1992, counselor Gary Chapman, in his book, The Five Love Languages, identified five ways, what he called languages, that people most readily use to recognize and to accept love being shown to them, and for them then also to give and express their love to others. These five languages are, number one, words of affirmation. Number two, quality time. Number three, gifts. Number four, acts of service. And number five, physical touch. So I'll ask you again, what's your love language? Mine is words of affirmation. I, of course, like the other four also, but words of affirmation are the ones that mean the most to me. I have a large notebook at home in which I have all the notes and cards that my wife has written me in our 34 years of marriage. I've saved them all. I have another big book of the ones that my children have written for me. That book's not quite as big, but no, I'm just kidding. I also have two of those big notebooks here at church in my office with notes and cards and emails that I have printed off from members and from people to whom I have ministered through the years after weddings and funerals and such, and their words to me. Likewise, it is through notes and cards and letters and emails and poems that I have expressed my love to my family and to other people as well throughout the years of my life. I think Chapman was onto something when he identified these five languages. But I also think that he missed one. I think he missed Jesus' love language. The way that Jesus most readily receives and recognizes love. In our text today from John 14, Jesus said this, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me." In 1 John 5, we read these words, "This is love for God, to obey his commands." And in some of Jesus' final words here on earth, in what we know as the Great Commission, Jesus said, "As you go, disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And thus we see that obedience is the way that Jesus has stated that he recognizes and receives love from his followers. And thus, for us to show him that we love him, we must obey what he has commanded us to do. Which is to love our enemies. To seek first God's kingdom. To forgive those who sin against us. To repent of our sins, to let our light shine before others, to disciple all nations, to take up our cross daily and to follow Him, to keep the commandments, to pray for God to send forth workers out into the harvest, to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, to be reconciled with our brother, to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, among a number of other things which He has commanded too. And so you see, in order for us to show God that we love Him, we must do all of these things. Kind of a lengthy list, isn't it? A rather tall order. And that's only a portion of what Jesus has commanded us. There's a whole lot more. So how are you doing on all that? Do you think you're showing or doing a good job of showing God that you love Him by your obedience to Him? The answer is probably no. At least, I know for me, the answer is no. I do some of those things fairly well, but there's a lot of the other ones I really struggle with. And I'm not sure about you, but I would not call a child who only obeys about 50% of his parents' rules an obedient child. And thus, if our obedience to God is only partial at best, what does that say about our love for Him? Well, it's only partial at best, too. Thanks be to God that our forgiveness and our salvation are not based upon our love and our obedience for Christ, but upon His love and His obedience for us. As Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before He was put to death on the cross, He prayed this to His Father. He said, "Take this cup from Me, yet not what I will, but what You will." In John 6, Jesus said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do My will, but to do the will of Him who sent Me." In John 15, Jesus said, "If you obey My commands, you will remain in My love, just as I have obeyed My Father's commands and remain in His love." Finally, in Philippians chapter 2, St. Paul wrote this of Jesus. He said, "He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." God's Son became incarnate into this world so as to be obedient to His Father, to follow the commands that God has given us, the commands that we can't and we don't follow. And because Jesus did that, He could also become obedient to God's plan that He would become the sacrifice for all of our sin. And thus, you see, it's by the virtue of the obedience of Christ and through His death and His resurrection that you and I have been forgiven of our sins, and that we have been assured of a place with God in His eternity. It is through His obedience that we have been shown and have been given His love. My mom, when we kids were young, used to say to my sisters and me when we were fighting or arguing about something, and And she'd get so frustrated with us, and she would say in a very pleading voice, "Children, if you love me, won't you please obey me?" And we would say, "Mom, we do love you, but that doesn't mean we're going to obey you." But maybe it does. Maybe it should be on Chapman's list of love languages. For you see, if the author of love, God Himself, has said that to love Him is to obey Him, and to obey Him is to love Him, then obedience is most certainly the language by which we say, "I love you," to God. May we thus strive to be obedient to Him in everything of which He has commanded us. But all the while knowing that regardless of how lacking or how errant or how small our love for Him might be and our obedience for Him might be, His love for us covers it all because of the perfect obedience of His Son Jesus. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.